This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
President Trump referred to African countries, Haiti and El Salvador, as shithole countries.
Miami Senator Daphne Campbell joins the chorus of people condemning President Trump's latest actions.
I am the least racist person.
And oh yeah, it's the second week of the 2018 legislative session.
The House will come to order.
We'll have a brief recap of the first and what's in store this week.
I love being back up here. It's great to see so many old friends. I haven't been a state senator now since 2010. It's hard to believe time has moved that fast.
Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg makes the rounds in Tallahassee during opening week. He stops by the Rotunda to say hello. All that and more coming up on episode 133 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. It's the second week of Florida's legislative session, but for some reason, President Donald Trump managed to steal the show again with his so-called tough language.
President Trump referred to African countries, Haiti and El Salvador, as shithole countries.
That's Haitian-born State Senator Daphne Campbell, a Democrat representing Miami. During his last meeting with a bipartisan group of members of Congress in the Cabinet Room, President Trump allegedly asked why the U.S. would want all these people from
shithole countries
coming to the U.S. The Washington Post initially reported on his remarks.
He then suggested that the United States should instead bring more people from countries like Norway. Why? Because they look like him. It appears that President Trump does not have an issue with immigrants. He has an issue with immigrants of color.
Campbell, along with other members of Florida's Black Caucus, called Governor Scott to denounce his friend's remarks, and they demanded Trump issue an apology. Republican Representative Ileana Ross-Leighton was outraged at Trump's reported comments.
If that's not racism, I don't know how you can define it. This is the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, making these racist statements.
Trump responded to reporters over the weekend at his property in West Palm Beach.
Oh, no, I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
Trump denies saying the slur. This is one of his tweets. Quote, the language used by me at the DACA meeting was tough, but this was not the language used.
Well, it seems to me that regardless of the particular word or language he used, setting aside an entire groups of people from a continent and then two other countries, one in the Caribbean and one in Central America, is by definition, to say the least, an awkward and inappropriate thing to do.
Joseph Helwig is an associate professor of religion and anthropology at Florida State University. He's also an avid listener of this program, and he was ready to weigh in.
I've been doing academic research as an anthropologist in the Ivory Coast in West Africa since, the summer of 1992, for over 25 years, I guess. And I've also done research in Mali and Guinea, which are countries adjoining Ivory Coast in West Africa. And I have read a great deal about it. I've never traveled to Haiti and to El Salvador. But it seems to me that if one knows the histories of these places, one can't help but recall that the United States and, of course, other countries, European countries especially, have played a role in destabilizing them. So the president's comments about the negative quality of life, I presume is a polite way of putting it. The way he characterized life in these countries is not just a result, if you take for granted his assumption, of the way people make lives for themselves in these countries, but the result of, you know, long histories of enslavement, colonialism, and then neocolonialism, by which I mean the intervention of Western countries in Africa, of global corporations in politics and economics in African countries and in Haiti and in El Salvador and in other countries of the Caribbean and Latin America.
It's important to note that Governor Scott quickly reacted to reports of Trump's slur with a statement saying, quote, "If this report is true, it is absolutely wrong to say or think this. I do not think this way, nor do I agree with this kind of sentiment. I represent Florida, and we are an amazing melting pot where over 250 languages are spoken. I work every day to make this the most welcoming state for everyone. Haitians, Cubans, Venezuelans, and others from all around the world that call Florida home. I'm incredibly proud of our diversity." End quote. Some lawmakers confirmed hearing Trump use the slur against African countries. Some deny, and others, including Florida's own Mario Diaz-Balart, are remaining silent on the issue. Miami's Local 10 News caught up with the Republican congressman to find out why he is refusing to confirm, deny, or condemn the president.
I'm the only person from our community that has a seat at this table. And I'm going to use that seat not to criticize, not to point fingers, to try to stop the imminent deportation of about 800,000 young people.
What do you say to your constituents about your president being called a racist?
If calling the president a name, or if calling Senator Durbin a name, would help me in the negotiations to stop the deportation of 800,000 people, then maybe I would do that. My goal is to stop the deportation of 800,000 people. And how does it help me to point names and to point fingers and say names to the very people that I have to quietly, privately negotiate with? I'm not going to do that.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us to expand our reach. This program is featured on newspaper websites across the country, and we couldn't do it without your support. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram at Rotunda Podcast, even on Facebook. And check out where you can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com. We welcome your generous contribution along with your tips and story ideas. Be an active listener, and thanks for your support.
The House will come to order.
The first week of session came and went. The usual ceremonial openings, the State of the State address. Governor Rick Scott, by the way, is continuing to make improvements on his public speaking.
Last month, I signed an executive order that outlines the process for sexual harassment training, reporting, investigating, and recovery for victims at all of my agencies. I urge both chambers and all of the cabinet agencies to follow our lead and do the same. I also want to take a step further and encourage the legislature to pass a bill this year that protects state employees who witness their colleagues being harassed or victimized. I want to ensure the identities of these brave individuals are protected so they feel encouraged to participate in investigations.
For the most part, things were moving along as expected. The Republican-dominated House approved a measure banning sanctuary cities for undocumented immigrants in Florida, despite no such cities existing in the state. But it's a priority for House Speaker Richard Corcoran. For the second year in a row, the Republican-controlled Senate approved an overhaul of the state higher education system that is a top priority for Senate President Joe Negron. Now for the scandals behind the ceremonies. Let's just say there were some bipartisan action between the sheets for a couple of lawmakers in the Senate. Republican Annie Terry Flores of Southwest Miami-Dade and Democrat Oscar Brainin of Miami Gardens admitted to having an affair after a published video purportedly showed one leaving the other's apartment while they were in the Capitol for a legislative session. Here's Senate President Joe Negron.
You know, I've talked to Senator Flores about the issue, and to me, their statement speaks for itself. I've seen no evidence whatsoever that their personal relationship has adversely affected how the Senate is run, decisions that were made in the Senate. And to me, it's a personal matter between them and their families. And I intend to move on and don't intend to comment further on that issue.
In a joint statement, Flores and Brannon confirmed their relationship and apologized to their families and constituents. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. So in the midst of all the excitement of opening week, I bumped into Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg.
Thank you. I love being back up here. It's great to see so many old friends. I haven't been a state senator now since 2010. It's hard to believe time has moved that fast. It seems like just yesterday I was roaming these halls. I love what I do now, though. I love being state attorney.
On the first day of session, the focus was not really on jobs. It was side issues. It was scandal and all of that stuff. What do you make of what you're seeing here in the legislature?
Yeah. Well, I'm disappointed in what has been going on and hope that my beloved institution of the Florida Senate will get its reputation back, because the people of Florida, they expect when they vote you into this office that it's a public trust. It's not to be abused for your own personal benefit, whether it's financial or personal, really. And so it's important for the Senate to reestablish its reputation. And there's some good people there, and I think they will.
Anyway, Ehrenberg wasn't really here to talk scandal. His agenda is actually jam-packed.
I'm up here for a few reasons. First, it's Palm Beach County days, so you have the political and economic leadership of the county descend upon the Capitol to make sure our county's interests and voices are heard. I'm also here because the Florida Prosecuting Attorneys Association has prosecutors up here each week to represent our association and the interests of justice and victims' rights. And then third, I'm here to go before the Constitutional Revision Commission to urge them to adopt Sherry Plymouth's amendment to the Constitution, which would be to close the insidious write-in loophole.
All right, let's zero in on one of those issues, Florida's write-in loophole.
And they're really just used to close out primaries, to thwart the will of the voters, to disenfranchise voters. The write-in candidates are used to manipulate the system to prevent people from voting. It's a scam. It's something that the party bosses and the political consultants employ to limit the number of voters in every election.
20 years ago, voters decided that when only Republicans or only Democrats run for an office, everybody should be allowed to vote in the primary in that race. But Florida's Division of Elections determined write-in candidates without a party are real contenders, which allows them to close the open primary.
Now, here's why this is so wrong and ridiculous, is that a write-in candidate is not on the ballot. It's just a line. A write-in candidate doesn't fill out anything more than a piece of paper to get on the ballot. There's no fee. There are no petition requirements. Write-in candidates rarely get any votes. They've never won. And they're really just used to close out primaries, to thwart the will of the voters.
Ehrenberg said he hopes the commission will let voters decide to ditch the write-in loophole. He's advocating for an amendment to the Constitution that would let all voters participate in a primary if there is no other general election opposition, or if the only opposition comes from write-in candidates.
Here's another example. In Palm Beach County, there's a port commissioner who I know and like. But she, whenever she qualifies for office, she brings with her her mother. Her mother files against her as an opponent, as a write-in opponent. And the reason why she does that is to prevent any independents and Republicans from voting in that race, because that race is a Democratic district for Port Commission. And now, as such, anyone who's not a Democrat has no say in that election. They're not allowed to vote. And again, people would say, well, that's good. You shouldn't have Republicans voting in Democratic primaries. But that's not what the people wanted. The Constitution is now clear. The people put this into the Constitution that in these limited cases, cases where everyone comes from the same political party in a race, then everyone can vote. And write-in candidates are being used by party bosses and political candidates to manipulate the election process to deprive people of their right to vote.
Well, for everything else that we didn't get to with our conversation with State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg, we'll just have to have him back very soon. So for the rest of this week, lawmakers will hear bills on opioids, hurricanes, and so much more. And we'll be sure to track the highlights next week. Thanks to our special guests this week, Dr. Joseph Helweg at Florida State University and Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. As always, be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.